Benedict XVI on Sunday journeyed to the city of Viterbo, some 85 kilometres north of Rome. The Pope spent an intense day in what is known as the City of the Popes, meeting with authorities, celebrating Mass, and praying in two local sanctuaries before travelling to the tiny town of Bagnoregio nearby to pay homage to the relics of Saint Bonaventure in the cathedral there. Viterbo is an interesting city with many historical, architectural and artistic treasures. By far the most interesting and magnificent building in the medieval centre is the Papal Palace. The building itself was completed in 1266, ready to receive the papal court when it decided to flee the turbulence of Rome.
The Pope stayed for some 10 years, and there were actually few French popes who were elected throughout this period.
Michele Ciniti is a tour guide who specialises in Viterbo and the surrounding Tuscia area.
Clement IV, Urban IV, actually, he was the very first one who was elected. He's the one who instituted the Corpus Domini festivity as well. And the last pope who was in Viterbo before the court was sent back to Rome was Martin IV.
Michele explained to me that no less than five conclaves were held in the rooms of this fortress residence, including a conclave that lasted 33 months before it elected the new pope, Gregory X, in 1271.
It was something devised up, trumped up to speed up the election of a pope, which dragged on for nearly 33 months. There were only actually 18 cardinals who ultimately were forced into the papal palace by key. That's why the word conclave, which is derivative from Latin cum clave.
The stratagem bore fruit and the cardinals got down to work.
Eventually, as they have come up with a negotiation, a deacon who was not out of those 18 and who stayed far away in the Holy Land and who had the name of Tebaldo di Visconti was elected as pope. He became priest and he's the one who afterwards, in the Council of Lyon, enforced the rule which is still now pursued in the Sistine Chapel whenever a pope is to be elected.
Is it true? Do they still elect a pope behind lock and key?
That's what they say. This regulation has still been kept alive ever since 1271, which is when this Gregory X came out.
Meanwhile, Michele revealed to me Viterbo became extremely popular with the press in the run-up to Pope Benedict XVI's election in April 2005.
Before this pope was elected, lots of foreign broadcasting networks from all over the world came to report where the very first conclave was held, which is just inside the Papal Palace, which everyone can see in the city of Viterbo.
Yes, it's actually called the Room of the Conclave, isn't it?
Yes, the Room of Conclave actually is now a bit empty one because lots of trappings have been removed and taken away. But the location of the conclave can be still visited.
During his intense Viterbo morning, Pope Benedict also took time to visit the sanctuary of Santa Rosa, St. Rose, stopping briefly to admire the amazing Macchina di Santa Rosa, which Michele told me is no machine at all. It's a 5-ton, 30-metre-tall lighted tower topped by a statue of Santa Rosa, the patron saint of Viterbo, credited with saving the city from a plague in the 17th century.
I would like to clarify, first of all, why the machine, which is Macchina, which is derivative from Latin Macchina, which I think is very close to the English scaffolding. It's just a huge structure now which has been hefted by over 100 devotees of St. Rosa, and they have to go through a sort of test, which is just to gauge their own capability, which is just hefting a huge box which is about 160 kilos heavy, and they have to heft it with self-confidence for about 90 yards inside the church where the guild, the union of the Facchini has been represented. And this takes place every year because the local community wants to remember another help given over the city by this patron saint, Rose, who had lived 4 centuries earlier, back to the 1200s.
And then, Michele told me, the 100 chosen porters proceed to carry the machine and Saint Rose through the streets of Viterbo every year on the 3rd of September. The machine itself is an amazing object, which contemporary artists, architects and engineers compete to design periodically.
And every 5 years, as you know, the draft, the plan of this architecture, which is a very beautiful, changes. So this year, there will be the very first of those 5 years to follow. And I can tell you that the architect who designed the machine is brother of the astrophysicist Vittori, and he's an astronaut, and he's a teacher of architecture, if I'm not mistaken, at Chicago's University. So it's something which everybody has to see, and where there are no boundaries, everybody joins together to enjoy this and to live this back to the 1600s, when for the first time this was celebrated.
Later in the day, the Pope took time to visit and to pray at the sanctuary of the Madonna della Quercia, the Madonna of the Oak Tree, who is also, Michele told me, credited for having saved the city from plague.
The plague regressed thanks to the worship of the local community to a picture. This picture was Madonna and the child who had been formerly painted on a tile, and this was set into an oak tree in the middle of nowhere. So people believed that this was a very, very good help for the community, for the plague to regress, and that's why everybody wanted to fulfill a vow, a sort of architectural vow. And that's why the local community and the Church of Rome, they joined the forces just to make this come true. And this took about 100 years for the architecture to be carried out.
Michele was adamant that this is really a very special place.
Everybody now compares this sanctuary to a present-day Lourdes, a sanctuary of the 1500s. And he's not the only one. He's just the ultimate pope of a long host of popes. There were about over a dozen who have come up to now, including John Paul II, to see the sanctuary. When John Paul II came, he wanted to leave his own testimony to worship, adding a crown of gold just on the head of Mary and Child.
In the afternoon, Pope Benedict travelled to the tiny town of Bagnoregio, which is quite close to Viterbo. His mission here was very dear to his heart, as Bagnoregio is the hometown of Saint Bonaventure, one of the two major intellectual influences on Pope Benedict's entire theological formation, together with Saint Augustine. What's more, in Germany, scholars must write 2 dissertations. The first is to receive a doctoral degree. The second is to qualify for a professional post. And the young Joseph Ratzinger, in the mid-1950s, wrote this second postdoctoral thesis on Saint Bonaventure and his understanding of history.
Saint Bonaventure is just a sort of a nickname, because his actual name was Giovanni Fidanza. He was a Sikh, so he was offered by his mother to Saint Francis. So when Saint Francis healed him, he wanted to change his name. It wouldn't be ever since Giovanni Fidanza, but Bonaventura, which is good luck. So he then followed the Franciscan order. He became a minister of the order. He taught theology in France at the very, very important French University of Sorbonne in Paris. He was buried in France, but before being buried, he's the one who did a great help to the Church of Rome to prepare the Council of Lyon, where the aforementioned rule of the conclave had been instituted. And when he was buried, unfortunately, his body was violated by the heretics. So what you can see now inside the San Nicola's Cathedral is only one over his arms and the Bible where he studied on.